Good evening. These are the stations of the Sarcom Network, VOB 92.9 FM and Hot 95.3 FM in combination for week two, part two of a six-part series, Fighting Crime, Discussing Solutions to Crime and Violence. My name is Scott LaRock Headley. I am your host this evening. My co-host is Mr. Tahir Bulbulia. And of course, my producer is none other than Mr. Dennis Johnson. Now, as a part of the Fighting Crime conversation last week, we featured Professor Dwayne Devenish of the University of the West Indies and criminologist Kim Ramsey throughout the series, and this evening you will hear the voices of certain individuals who have volunteered to share their personal experiences from the perspective of knowing what goes on in the world of crime and violence. Last week's guest on Fighting Crime, Shamar Bernard, who spoke about his reintegration into society following a prison sentence and wanting to further contribute to the discussion, took to the streets for some of these views. Our inclusion of these voices is not intended to glorify a lifestyle or acts of crime and violence. Rather, within the broader context of the topic at hand, fighting crime, discussing solutions to crime and violence, we hope that hearing a varying perspectives will further assist in understanding the issues and discussing meaningful solutions. The content in such instances may be inappropriate for children, and parental guidance is advised.
My name is Shamar Bernard. I'm on the panel discussing crime fighting in Barbados and the height in crime and gun crime. And I am here now interviewing a well-known drug smuggler, one of the best in Barbados. We would like to get his point of view on crime and what motivated him to step into the life of crime.
All right, good afternoon. The driving force behind enough of it is like just poverty, right? Just trying to like survive, or like fight that survival. So I would say it is poverty, but also I would still put survival as a factor, because after kind of as a youngster seeing your mother suffering and your father suffering, just to survive, you're willing to do anything. You know what I mean? You've got to be willing to do anything to help them. Have you seen them fighting against the system to send me school? We can see the school as just another part of the suffering. You know what I'm saying? Another part of the struggle. So it uses that as a fuel of, as my fuel in pursuing the just crime as per se, right? But on a ghetto youth perspective now, it's all about survival, you know. It's all about survival. We can do whatever it takes to survive. That's somebody can't give you a farm, you know, that we can't afford to buy nothing. That's somebody give you a farm. We can do as much as we could, you know what I mean? To make sure we survive, we protect it. When we can to look for something to eat, we gotta protect ourselves. So when we protect ourselves, you know, cause don't get me wrong, yes, you got mine can look for it, then mine can get the same farm. That's to show off and do, you know what I'm saying? So it's just be battling the individual still too. So it's back down to the individual, cause man could go a good upbringing and still choose crime. Man could go a rough upbringing and still choose to do something beyond crime or beyond that elevation, that our trajectory that he got.
So what would you say, how you feel about the gun violence per se to what you do as a drug smuggler? How do you feel about the height in gun violence? What does it do to
it just bring enough attention to the ghetto on where the incident occur or where the thing occur. But as you see, gun violence, the height in gun violence right now ain't just no more black against one another like before. Like I hear the female on this panel say, it's not like before like this gang, no, like this gang or that gang, no, like that gang. Anybody getting hit right now getting hit for a purpose or a reason. You know what I'm saying? Nobody ain't getting hit because we sit down with you and you sit down with me. You gotta be involved in somewhere. But that's why it's good to got these sort of conversations so that you ain't looking for, you know, society could find out what be the driving force behind it.
As I know you, and you know me from the world that
we live
in which we live in. What I would ask you, is a well-known smuggler of what we would say marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to ask you now is, how do you feel about the new drugs that come in on the market, the whereby as the pills, the mollies, the ecstasies? How does that interfere?
These things are mind altering drugs from the highest level. You understand? I believe in things mind altering drugs from the highest level, and I believe that they gotta get them stamped out, because that's exactly where you see the youngsters buying these mollies, and you see youngsters buying these things, they mind alter. So when they normal logic and reason, hamper with there. You understand?
Some would say that you as a smuggler of green would be obviously against those pills because they're coming and going into your money. So what you're saying is because of that, or
it's because my feel right now, again, to glorification right now in terms of the medical aspect of it. You understand? Them drugs ain't got the medical aspect of it. Them just mind altering. So you gonna use span this speed thing, this lean and this amphetamines and these things, using these drugs incorrect. But that's really, really the spike. And when that's really is, that's a very, very, very good thing there. That you know, sit there. If them methamphetamines, the pills and the mollies and anything is really
constant. Because as I was saying, back in the day.
We know.
It was just marijuana.
But we
would never see certain crimes of certain nature.
True.
So,
Command News in Dino, we knew marijuana back in the day, to motivate. So, we can get a lame. These men knew the mollies now. The boys getting us so fast. So, you mentioned we are motivated. We're going to kill somebody. You know what I'm saying?
So what would you say? What was solution would you give to
We got to focus on the youths. We got to focus on the youth. There's so much. One thing, I'll be that man that the ghetto look up to in terms of helping put the ghetto together. But it's so out of hand right now. But we got to get a hold of the youth. We got to reprogram the youth right now into knowing within core values. You know what I mean? We need to get a hold of the youth, because if we could change one youth right now, that's two youths down the road, or two young men or two young women down the road. You understand? We got to get into the communities again. We got to get back into the communities, reclaim the communities again. You know what I mean? Both police and we, hand in hand. You know what I mean? Got to get hold of the community, big man. Get hold of the youth. Sorry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your word.
Yeah.
Your views and opinion on the subject at hand.
Well, get the youth, boy. You gotta get the youth. Great.
You were listening to an interview with one of last week's panelists, Shamar Bernard, who took to the streets and spoke to certain individuals who have volunteered to share their personal experiences from the perspective of knowing what goes on in the world of crime and violence. We want to emphasize that the inclusion of these voices is not intended to glorify a lifestyle or acts of crime and violence. Rather, within the broader context of the topic at hand, fighting crime, discussing solutions to crime and violence, we hope that hearing varying perspectives will further assist in understanding the issues and discussing meaningful solutions. Let me say good evening once again to my co-host this evening, Tahir Bulbulia. What's going on, sir?
Good evening, Scott. Good evening, Barbados. How are you doing, man?
I am cool. Nice to finally meet you in person. Well, for the second time.
Very much so. Very much so. And as the person rightfully said, we have to get hold of the youth, you know? Mm-hmm. We have to really get hold of the youth here today.
Definitely. You've brought some interesting panelists with you today. We have Mosiah Hoyt, who's an educator and social worker. He'll be joining us via Zoom. Celia Collimore, senior project manager and entrepreneur of Bajan Fusion fame. And of course, we have the man who everybody listening via Hot FM, I'm sure, knows, Rick. What's going on, sir?
Good evening, Scott. Good evening, Barbados. Good. Nice right. to be here for the first time. Mm-hmm.
All right, Tahir, I throw things over to you.
Yeah, this conversation is absolutely necessary, especially in this time when crime is high in Barbados right now. And we have to deal strictly solutions. And that is why we have such a diverse panel, bringing Rick Rick to bring his youthful input as an artist and as a young entrepreneur. And then we have young Mosiah as well, who is an educator and has worked on the ground in various fields, in various areas, various communities, at-risk communities, government industrial school as well. So he's going to come and give that personal touch. Well, Celia with her experience in health and wellness and mentoring and life coaching. So we want to deal strictly solutions, you know?
Strictly solutions.
Strictly solutions, as you rightfully said. And this is where it begins. And we need to continue taking these conversations and these solutions into action. Mm-hmm. We could talk all day, but if we don't transfer this to action. And what I would encourage all the panelists to do is let me deal solutions and let me inspire someone out there to not choose crime. Let me choose the positive way out, you know? Mm-hmm.
Sounds like we are indeed lined up for a very interesting discussion. Let me let you know that this always going to fly by.
Yeah.
Really quickly. And of course, to the listeners out there, we will be taking your WhatsApps and calls as well. I'll let you know when you can send those to us. All right, Tahir, do your thing.
So yes, so as I said, we're going to start with Celia. And from Celia, from your point, from where you sit, what is needed to combat the crime situation in Barbados? From where you sit, what's your assessment of the crime situation in Barbados today? And what is needed to combat this crime situation that we have in Barbados?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Tahir. And I know today we're focusing on solutions, but for anyone who's in a space of trying to find solutions, we always obviously have to talk about the causes. What is causing crime? Why are people making these decisions? How can we avoid making these decisions? And for me, being living in overseas for a very long time, I lived in the U.S. for 13 years. I played basketball. I left on a scholarship. And crime in the U.S. obviously has been very rampant. But it's so funny, even though crime was around me, whether it was on college campus, or within the working space, it was only when I moved back to Barbados that I felt unsafe. Hmm. Case in point, yes, I never experienced crime personally living in the U.S. for 13 years, but moving back to Barbados, I had an incident at my home that made me feel very uncomfortable. And all it was somebody trying to look through my window. And hearing from my mom, well, nothing ever so happened here until you move back. You know, and am I supposed to feel guilty moving back to Barbados? But here it is, you had someone who's snooping in my community, and it wasn't just happening to me, it was happening to other homes in my community. And I felt very uncomfortable. And it started with a block by my window. We live by the main road. This person, I actually knew this person. This is someone that was actually kind of close to my brother, working with my brother, but he would put a block by my window. And my mom was walking around the house one day and saw it. And she was like, you knew this block was by your window? And I'm like, no. So then I moved it. The next day, it was there again. And I moved it, I fling it away, and it was there again. And even though we talked about it, I never did anything about it. I didn't call the police. I didn't say anything. But then I was having a conversation with my hairdresser, who lives about two houses up. And then she said the same thing. It has happened to her. And her neighbor told her that this person was actually trying to look in. And at that point, it was like, okay, but let me call the police. So for me, there's so many different types of crime, right? And even though this person might not have fully committed a crime, it was still offensive. It was still making people feel uncomfortable and harmful. And it was at that moment I said, one, I need to get myself a gun. Not saying that I have one yet, but as a woman who's trying to protect herself and her family, you're feeling unsafe in your own home, right? And being able to learn self-defense as well as another form of protection. So for me, those were examples of how I can solve the problem. But really, is that the solution? I had friends who were ready to stake out for this guy and beat him up. But is that really a solution? No. So then I called the police. Yes, told them what was happening. And they said they were going to do a patrol and they're going to speak to this person. And it actually stopped for a little bit. And then it started to happen again. Right? And then we called the police again. And we said, look, if he doesn't stop, you know, we're going to take situations into our own hands. And after that second conversation, it stopped. So that is my experience as it relates to crime. Of course, it's all around us. I work also within the school system as a consultant where we work with at-risk youth ages 16 to 25. And as a facilitator, as a student advocate, we experienced many students on a weekly basis getting in fights, having weapons, you know, in school, and even our safety, just as teachers, we felt uncomfortable. And I know, and another thing that came to my mind was teachers need to learn self-defense, because these days children don't even really care if you're a teacher or not. If you say something to offend them, you know, however they're feeling, they want to handle it, even though it is wrong. So I've made some points in terms of solutions, and it starts with the individual. Like the guy said earlier on the interview, it really starts with the individual coming up with, you know, what are your core values? Who am I? What do I want out of life? What are the things that I am going to do to move forward? Who's in my space that can encourage me, that can support me? I might have this great idea, but I don't know how to get it off the ground. Who is in my network that can support me on that? Yes. So being able to have a level of discipline in terms of knowing your goals, knowing who you are at your core, and seeing that time is a negative, and how do you keep yourself away from the negatives? As an athlete, I played basketball, I left Barbados on a scholarship, I played in the US. So for me, as an athlete, sports is another avenue that keeps the youth out of crime. When you're surrounded with, you know, 5, 12, 15 people on a weekly basis, and you're doing activities, and you have the encouragement from a coach, and then you have parents around you who are encouraging you. And even though you might not have that support at home, you may have that support within that sporting network that you are in. You know, you leave home, you go to school from home, from school, you go to your games, and by the time you get home, you're sleepy. You don't got no time to get into no trouble. You understand? Correct. So reality is, how can we use sports as a vehicle to not only teach them the skill of being an athlete, but the positivity of being a corporate citizen? For Barbados, the opportunities that you can get from sports. I didn't start basketball because I thought I was going to get a scholarship. But when people put that in my ear, here are the possibilities for you. Yes, I started to commit to the sport, and I started to pay attention to what was happening out in the world and saying, you know what, that's where I want to go. And again, not every youth may get a scholarship or may get the opportunity to leave Barbados, but it's about the foundation that we want to create for our youth here.
Indeed. Yes, and there is definitely a need for that foundation. And at this point in time, there is definitely a need for more wholesome activities as well, especially sports is that vehicle. But we need a community. There is a need to bring that community back together. But at this point in time, I'm going to go over to Mosiah. Mosiah, what trends are you seeing in terms of the youth? Why are they resorting to crime? Why are they going to drugs? What trends are you seeing on the ground, man?
Good night, Barbados. So thanks for having me here. I think that the perpetrators and the ordinary citizen have the same aim or the same goal. I think essentially they want better. Mm-hmm. I mean, the situations or the communities or the homes that they're in don't always provide that atmosphere. But I think essentially everybody wants a better lifestyle. If you listen to the guy who Shamar interviewed, when he said he was tired of seeing his family struggle.
It's all about survival.
It's about survival. So I think that at the core, that's what it is, and that's what we're seeing on the ground, that people want to survive, people want to meet the needs. And if it means that they're going to make somebody else uncomfortable, unfortunately, that's what they do. That's what they do to here. And I think that's what we're seeing. We want the same thing, but our approaches are different.
Very interesting point, because Shamar said the same thing last week. He said he thinks poverty is the key factor, or the driving force behind people choosing that lifestyle and a life of crime. So it's very interesting that Mosiah is saying the same thing.
Poverty is definitely an issue, and jobs and the opportunities that are out there. There's a need for more opportunities, as Celia said. Mm-hmm. There's a need for more programs and wholesome activities for our youth to participate in. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, when you're in a situation where you can't put food on the table, it definitely becomes a whole lot harder for a lot of people out there. But I definitely feel like we need a lot more empathy to understand what people may be going through in this country, you know?
On the topic of sports, though, yeah, I can think of so many guys who went to school.
Advocate, right?
Celia, give me a second.
Devil's advocate. Oh, sorry.
All right. I was saying I can think of so many guys who went to school with me who were like top class, top of the game in basketball, football, whatever. When I see them now, they're on the streets doing hustling. Like, they put in their best effort. They put it all into football, but it didn't get them anywhere in life. So, like, when it comes to sports and that sort of thing, I think we need to put a lot more into it and a lot more structure and make it something that can actually be a career.
Correct.
And pay some bills and not just something you do on evening after you leave work for fun.
Correct. And there's a good time where we go to Rick Rick, because not a lot of people know Rick Rick is a junior national footballer as well. He played football at Cormier and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're right. I give you football, though. You don't know how to focus on the artistry.
Right.
Yeah.
NIFCA winner and stuff like that. So, Rick Rick, coming over to you now. How was that impact for you playing sports in performing arts now as an artist and an entrepreneur? Also coming from an area associated with crime and violence, and now coming out of that, rising above that, and using sports, using the arts, using the culture, using different blends, and then becoming an entrepreneur. How was that journey for you? Give persons a little insight into that, you know?
Well, the sports, for sure, I would say sports does keep the youth out of trouble, for sure. Because if for example, you at school, you go to school for the whole day, then you go do extracurricular activity, whether it be cricket, football, basketball, you don't really got no time to be idle, you understand? So, like, once you play that sport, or once you have, you ever gonna be a sport, once you doing, I feel like once you doing something, like, have something to do, then you won't be idle, and you won't think of other things to do, like, idle stuff to do, like gonna rob somebody.
The
you
devil
know what
finds
mean?
Work for idle hands.
Exactly. Yeah, so like, I find like once you active sports wise or other ways, then that's really keep you out of trouble as a youngster. In terms of the music side of things, no, there was a whole hullabaloo, a whole outburst about the artists in Barbados, right? That we were causing the violence and stuff.
You jumped the gun here, right?
Yeah, I don't know, but still, I can just touch it quick, real quick. I can just say, we can touch it back if you want later, but I can just say
jump straight in.
Music, yes, music has a lot of influence, but no music can make you want to go and pick up a gun and shoot somebody, go and kill somebody, rob somebody, you know what I mean? Make somebody uncomfortable. Music can't influence you to do that type of thing. That gotta be in you already. Like, something other than the music will have to, like, alright, you will have to get to a point in your life where you say, alright, things ain't getting good or whatever, you know what I mean? Something ain't working out, you know what I mean? And like, you gotta make somebody uncomfortable to make yourself better. You understand? So like, they got people say the music is influence a lot of that behavior. But that behavior is something that I feel ingrained in you as a person, as a human being already. It got a lot to do with certain upbringings too. You understand? The school system. I would say the school system has got a lot to do with the crime and violence that we see going on here. Now I can tell you why. Because not everybody is but smart, academically smart. You understand? Got people that diverse in other areas. Everybody in one be a doctor, lawyer, you know what I mean? Physiotherapist, them type of things, them big jobs. People want hustle. People want to be entrepreneurs. You understand? So when you go in school and, all right, say for example, you go in school, they got science subjects, and then they got other technical subjects, right? A man might not want to do sciences because he ain't can't end up being a doctor. A man might want to do technical subjects because he's more diverse with his hands, you understand, more hands-on. But for a man that want to do the hands-on stuff and he get placed in a science class, you lose focus there, you see? You lose interest there right away, right off the bat. You don't really care about what's going on. You're just there because you have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you don't care what's going on. When school finish now, school done, you only finish school with a certain amount of CSCs. You understand? You can't get no work. No way. You see? No boy really won't employ you because you only got 4 CSEs. You can't further your education because you only got 4 CSEs. Can't get UE. Nothing like that. So, they got other things now that you could do outside of or trying to force like school. You know what I mean? Instead of trying to force your school, they got other things you could delve into like entertainment. You understand? Other hands-on stuff to really keep you active. Really as a young person, because like I can tell you something. People say that young people sometimes like, yeah, you young, so like you gotta do it this way. But yeah, as a young person, you gotta understand, as old folks, you gotta understand that times have definitely changed. You understand? Times definitely changed. So how you would have done something back then, you don't necessarily have to do it that way now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like I just say that to say, well, I can tell you something after I say what I say now, right? I just say that to say, it don't have to be all about like school and forcing like that school thing down your throat. Try to open up the youth brain and see like what ideas they have in the head. Barbados have a lot of talented youth, you understand? But they don't have the avenues to really get out the talent, get out certain things that they want to do. And the story that I just told you all, that's my story, basically. You understand? I never really tell nobody that, but that's me. That's why I am who I am today, right? Because like, not saying that I's a dumb person, like that I foolish, right? But you see, like, sitting down and studying through a book and thing, you know what I mean? That really wasn't for me. So I had to, honestly, if I didn't like take the step forward to really take control of my life and my destiny, my journey, I probably would end up, you know what I mean, being idle, looking to do some type of foolishness, you understand? But being active and really understanding what we wanted to do as a person, instead of like getting somebody to force me to do something that I ain't want to do, you understand? That was it for me. So as youth, you really gotta like take control of yourself, you understand? Your mind, your body, and just don't be idle. That's it. Just don't be idle. Just try to keep active. Try to be active all the time.
Some deep comments there, Rick. Yeah, so you're saying we need to do an overhaul of the school system and focus on
for sure. Because school system is, I mean, as a young man.
Yeah, right? We can see that.
Yeah.
I hear it too.
Yeah. But like, to me, I feel like the school system that was for me back then, which is like about 5 years ago, because I left school about 5 years ago, no? Mm-hmm. Not a long time, but still 5 years is long enough time for a change in between 2016 to 2021. They should have at least some type of change. Honestly, COVID to me was a blessing for the school system in a way.
Interesting.
Right? I will explain now. For example, a blessing and a curse too. It take away the in-person element, which you need as a youngster.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because as a youngster, yeah, you want to see your friends. You want to go to school, have a good time, still interacting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need that social interaction.
Direct.
That's truly an inspirational story, and there's definitely a need. And I can make the call tonight. I think we have 3 persons. All persons in here have agreed that they need education reform in Barbados for sure. And to develop the holistic student, the holistic person to teach you about life. And I feel, this is my personal opinion, I certainly feel that due to our education system, a lot of our youth are resorting to crime because they have talents, but as Rick said, they may not have the CSEs to back it. But
exactly.
Why do you need 7 CSEs to fix a car?
Why do you need, I'm glad you say so, why do you need a piece of paper saying you have this degree to determine your intelligence? You do not need that. You do not.
15 years old.
Swear you do not. You do not need that. Sorry for swearing, but swear you do not need a piece of paper for some. Okay, no piece of paper can determine my intelligence.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's just a paper.
Right, I can go over to Celia at this point in time. What was the importance of personal mentoring and life coaching as you're involved in, especially with the youth at that level?
Before you respond, Celia, let me just give everyone these numbers quickly. If you want to WhatsApp us, you can hit us up at 266-4862. And you can also call us at 434-1790. That's WhatsApp 266-4862 or call 434-1790. We'd love to hear from you tonight, Celia.
Yes, so mentoring and life coaching is very important, very critical. You can do it either as an individual or as a group. And, you know, earlier Rick talked about the school system. And I can say to you, you know, I've worn a number of hats since moving back to Barbados and working through.
I think we lost Celia for a second.
Technical
there.
Issues, but we'll go over to Mosiah.
Mm-hmm.
Mosiah.
Yes. I could jump in there, yes. And I agree with Rick and say that a degree shouldn't be the ultimate measurement of your intelligence. I agree with him there.
That's a better way to put it. Thanks. Appreciate that. that's the greatest way to put it.
And I see that reform is coming. I really hope that it does come. I want to delve into that as an educator. I keep myself away and see what happens. But what I'd say, though, back on the music, and I just want to stick up in there quick. Rick, you say that you can't influence, but I believe so, man. I feel like you got a social responsibility as an artist out there. That's what I believe.
I was attached back on that point.
We're gonna get on that because I got some questions too.
Yeah, I can let you continue.
I got some questions for Scott too.
Oh, there.
because I feel like they're going through a stage of adolescence and development where they don't necessarily know how to filter everything. So if I'm looking up to you and this, what you shipping to me, obviously I can take what you feeding me. Because I ain't know how to filter yet. The part of my brain that can develop, that's the last part to develop, you know. Right, that's now, true. I want thrills. So I think you've got a social responsibility as an artist where you're put out there because it can influence. I don't think it's the only thing, but I think it definitely influences our young people.
Music is powerful.
It's very powerful. Oh, yeah. I can take a note there one more session so that when we touch back on that, I will remember. I can remember for sure. I can take a note. But yeah.
So yes, Mosiah. And what from your viewpoint, do you feel, and there's a constant conversation that is being had in this country, that crime of 20 years ago, we the youth worse than 20 and 40 years ago. What was your assessment? Do you feel crime is more rampant now? What was your assessment of the crime situation now as compared to, say, 20 years ago?
Well, when you put 20 years ago, I just want to let you know that I ain't that old, you know. It was in secondary school, you know. I was in secondary school and it wasn't.
I don't know how old he really feel the man is, Mosiah.
All right, then, man.
He was an educated man.
Yeah, but that I mean old, right? But yeah, I tell you though that I believe what we are seeing now is a continuation of what was happening before. I mean, people like at every stage, somebody is going to say the youths of today are awful, the youths of today are terrible. I am sure that in our age group, by the time we get 40s and going on, somebody in that age bracket can say the youths of today are horrible and terrible. But I do not believe that it's a new phenomenon. This thing has been happening. Yes, you have the influence of the internet. You have that side of things where we can be so easily influenced through social media. But besides that, crime has been with us for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the aim, will it leave us entirely? No, but I really do think that we need to seek a reduction, and hence the solutions that we put forward today.
Right. So far, we've had some very interesting suggestions. First of all, overhaul that school system. Some people would say as far as the 11 plus, which was today, by the way, 11 plus is a big, big, big talking point. It has been for years because passing for a school that you didn't expect to pass for, a school that people don't think is that great of a school, can have a major impact on the mental. And imagine you're 11 years old. Everybody expecting you going to AC or Common Mirror, but then results come back and you're not going there. You feel like you disappointed the whole world and you have that burden on your shoulders. You can't really focus anymore. It's a serious thing, you know.
Definitely.
I had that experience, you know.
Me too.
When I did the common entrance, a relative told me out front, I am disappointed in you. Wow. Out front, I am disappointed. You could imagine me having to wear that. And I wore that for years, you know. Going through that school for 5 years, I wore the fact that this relative who I look up to and respect their opinion told me, I'm disappointed in you because of a school that I passed for.
For me, it wasn't a relative. It was a teacher, but I looked up to him in the same way. Sure. And it's only last week that I thought about it. So you worked for 5 years. I worked for a long time. It's only last week that I really thought about it and the sort of impact that that has had on my life. It's a serious thing.
Definitely.
Yep. All right, we're still awaiting Celia to come back, for Celia to come back in. So in the meantime, let me give you those numbers once again. For those of you who want to WhatsApp us, you can hit us up. Let me pull it up real quick right here at 266-4862. Or you can give us a call at 434-1790. Fighting crime, discussing solutions to crime and violence. Rick, we got to take you back to the music point and the influence. I know Tahir has some questions, so I don't know. Do you want to go first?
You go ahead first, Scott. You go ahead first.
I just want to ask Rick, if as an artist, I've listened to some of your music. You put out some real positive and inspirational stuff.
Respect.
So I'm pretty sure you can imagine that somebody listening to that might, you know, be like, yo, this man talking to me. So music can affect your mood and your attitude and your point of view.
Right.
So from that perspective, don't you think that violent lyrics can have equally the same effect? Like,
well, yes, it can, but you gotta know when a man serious about what he's saying, and when he's just doing it because that's the hype / the wave that can push you and really like get you more following or more backing.
So you're just trying to grow as an artist, grow your following.
Correct. And I can give you an example. I got a song that people will call Badness. Me and Brutal, Crank Star, wrote a song named Tough Talk. That people will call Badness. But I mean that I can go and actually shoot somebody or kill somebody. The lyrics of the song, I can just talk them. Them feel them bad, but them only students. Enough of them a chat, but have no gun. Right? I chat. I ain't got no gun. Right. I just singing. Mm-hmm. You understand? So I say that to say, like, it's just lyrics. So, like, and for example, I do that song with Brutal, because Brutal is a bigger artist than me, bigger dancer artist in Barbados than me. So, like, me doing that song with him down that line don't necessarily mean that he's a violent person or Brutal is a violent person or we trying to influence people to go and get guns, you know what I mean, and actually kill people. It's just showing our creativity. Right. So people have to understand and really, like, draw the line where they know the difference between a song that is actually to motivate you and influence you, like make you do things differently, and a song that is badness that, you know, is art. I will call it
interesting
art.
Point of view, but it sort of comes back to the same point that Mosiah made, because as an influencer, because if you even look at the terminologies we use nowadays, influencers and followers, certain people are influencers, other people follow. So if you, even if you're making sport or you're just singing and expressing yourself as a talented songwriter, because you have influence over certain people,
it's true.
They might not just see it as, yo, Rick come down hard for that verse.
Yeah, correct.
They can hear, yo, Rick chucking badness, boy, go get a gun. You understand?
It's true.
It's a very deep discussion to be had on that topic. Tell here.
Mosiah, you have anything to add on that discussion?
Well, I would carry that discussion right down the road.
Yeah, that was going all night.
So I think Scott just left it at the point that I would want to leave it at. You're an influencer. People will be following you. You have the responsibility to make sure that what you put up there, I know you can grow your following, but not at the detriment of a young man or a young woman who's looking up to you and is taking what you say as gospel.
Correct.
As gospel, so I think you have to take that social responsibility seriously as an artist. Any creative has to take that responsibility seriously.
We have a question here coming into my WhatsApp, and I'll throw this one to Mosiah. And how it says, how does family play a role in ensuring young people stay focused and away from that crime? And you've worked closely. So what role does the family play, Mosiah?
The family is very influential. I'll tell you this. Everybody shared the story. And part of the reason why I do what I do was because my family was not the ideal family to grow up in at all. I saw violence left, right, and center in my household. Domestic violence was rampant in my household. And I decided that I needed to be the change. I don't want to see that. I want to make sure that I could create a change for other young people out there. Now, families have the responsibility of shaping and molding the young people of this nation. And this comes to one of my solutions to here. I feel like it has to be filtered down. Parents need to be equipped with the skills to help their children. Being a teenager in 2021, being a child in 2021 is far different to being in the 90s. When I was told what to do, I did it, man. Yeah. I conformed and went down the road. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, even as a teacher, you tell a child to do something, they're going to have questions. It's and you better believe with the intelligence that these children have that you need to be able to answer them and not just say, because I say so.
Yeah.
That no longer works.
No.
So I believe that the family needs to be equipped with how do I problem solve? How do I effectively communicate? That needs to start in the family. Because the family really supports everything that we're trying to do at school. I know you're going to tell me that school wants a reformation, and I agree, but the family starts there. Whatever is happening in the community is an overspill of the family. So if we can get parents and sound my voice for a national parenting program, and I know that that fellow social worker, Fabian Sargent, will support that loud and clear, that we need to have a national parenting program where parents are equipped with the skills so that they can empower these youngsters, and it continues and it continues and it continues. The same way that violence continues, I feel that if we foster something positive and wholesome, that can also continue. And I think the family is the good space for that to happen.
Well said, Mosiah. Those numbers, once again, if you want to jump in on the conversation, 434-1790. That's the call number. And of course, you can WhatsApp us at 266-4862. I see a couple questions here on WhatsApp. Someone wants to know, how does spirituality, not religion, play a role in ensuring positivity in youth and a shield against negative behavior? Who wants to tackle that one?
I'll throw that over to Mosiah.
He's on bread, but I can handle it. Hard, man. No problem. I can handle it. Look, back in the day, as to hear tell me about 20 years ago, I know not religion and spirituality, but the church has a role in ensuring that our communities are wholesome, in my opinion. You had to go to church when you was young.
Mm-hmm.
You had to make sure that you went to Sunday school, even if your mother didn't go to church or your father didn't go to church, you had to go to Sunday school.
Yeah.
Or there was a grandparent who instilled those rights in you. I believe that there needs to be, you need to believe in some higher power to take you through this life that we live. We are not existing by and of ourselves. I personally have my faith in God. That's what I believe. So I think that spirituality, yes, it allows you to focus. You have guiding principles that you can live by. And if that is what I use my faith to guide me. And I think that that is something that we need as well. Faith to guide us and not just to say, let me not say that, but let me say this. The church then needs to be receptive to young people. You understand? They're going to come in all shapes, colors, form, whatever, however they come, accept them. The young lady with the short dress, don't put you out. Be open, man, and let them come into the space where they feel welcome, because everybody wants a sense of belonging. And they think the church is that space where they should feel a sense of belonging outside of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the church and the massages, the mosques really need, and the synagogues and the spiritual places, mm-hmm. really need to adapt to the 2021 world as well. You can't, like you said, you can't simply operate as you did before. You're living in the 2021. Mm-hmm. We have to get and understand what the youth are facing out there. It's no longer just coming to church, going to Sunday school anymore. The youth want more than that. The youth want conversations.
But as an elder, though, Tahir might argue, y'all want to come in and change everything, and then what it was before, like, you want to bring wellness in the church now, too?
But
and in my spiritual space?
So my question is to that is... everything should revolve out to the church and the mosque, you know? That's a spiritual hub. That's a spiritual hub where a person should be able to come and freely worship and feel free and feel open mm-hmm. to express themselves and have that opportunity to learn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about coming and praying, the semantics, the rituals. Mm-hmm. Let's come and have that spiritual connection. Spiritual connection is not just about praying, you know? It's about how you carry yourself on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
It's how you deal with people. It's how you interact with people. It's how you treat your neighbor. Mm-hmm. All that spirituality. But I think we forget that. We forget that. Oh, that's part of spirituality.
Yeah. A lot of people are just set in their ways. And how it was, is how it has to be, and you ain't coming in here and changing that.
Correct. And this goes into a more serious point that I think we have in this country. We lack empathy. We lack empathy for what people are going through.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand, going back to the music, we have to understand that the artists have a role to play. We understand that the church has a role to play. The church has to understand what the youth are going through, what the persons coming to church and coming to mosque and coming to masajid are going through. We have to have that understanding. And I can reference an article that was written on Saturday from the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
On my good friend Alex Sobers.
Oh, that article.
That article.
Right.
You know, it's like he's representing Barbados at the Olympics. He's doing something positive, something brilliant. He's a national ambassador in a COVID time.
Yeah.
In a time where not many athletes have made it to the Olympics. Star athletes have not qualified for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have empathy on the morning of his race. An article like that comes out.
Right.
I would understand if you write it before the Olympics.
Yeah.
So that's your assessment, that's your predictions.
Mm-hmm.
But not on the morning of.
It's true.
You have to have empathy of what people are going through and understand the plights of others before we could then sit down and make pass a solution or whatever, or come to some form of solution.
What you're saying is right though, Barbie. This has sort of become a society where, like, if it ain't bothering me, I ain't bothered by it. You understand? That's he struggled, yep. Like, he deal with that. Which is... it's not the best thing, because it doesn't seem like we care for our fellow man, and the man feels even more, what do I want to say, ostracized, or he feels even more left out. So then that's when people just become more aggressive, more angry, and sure. It's like, whatever I can do to survive, I can do it. Whatever I have to do to survive, I can do it.
You correct. Understand
what I can agree with you, because then you don't give persons fair opportunity, because after a man mess up, he did something that we deem as less than appropriate,
mm-hmm.
then there's no chance for him. He went up the road.
He write off.
So there's
forever.
No opportunity. Yeah, he write off. Mm-hmm. There's no opportunity for him, because we don't demonstrate that empathy, as Tahir said. We don't empathetic. We don't give people a second chance in Barbados.
Yeah.
You foul up once,
you're gone.
Your story written. Yep. And that is unfair.
And that goes back to Rick point on if you don't have the 4 CICs, you can't progress in education system in Barbados. But Rick, what's your input, man?
Well, as I said before, the CSCs, no degree, nothing like that, can determine how far you could get in this life. Because for me, like, once you find, that's one thing you gotta do. As a young person, you have to find, you gotta really find your purpose.
Like, mm-hmm. And your passion.
Exactly, figure out exactly what it is that you want to do. Because this saying that my father does always tell me, it's all about you, nobody else. And that stayed with me, the man used to tell me so from when I was a little man. Coming up, that's all he used to tell me, it's all about you, nobody else. And that really resonated with me, because really and truly it is about me and nobody else. Not sounding selfish, but if you ain't straight, nobody else around you can be straight.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't doing something that you want to do, that you know you can put you 110% in, in many sense doing it. In many sense 0.40%, because the full thing is 100%. In many sense 0.40 and left in that other 60 there. That other 60 is you not wanting to do the thing. So find something that, you know what I mean, you feel good doing. That
something
you
all in.
Yeah, that you all in with. That you actually want to wake up, that you motivated to actually go and do. So for me, not making it sound bad, but school was never what I wanted to do. You understand? I ain't gonna tell no lies. I know my mother, my father listening to me right now. But school is never what I wanted to do. I only used to go to school because that was it. You had to go to school.
Are you not glad that you have the educational background that you have, though?
Yeah. For sure. Like, right. I just say, like, all right, you can't be the dunce. You can't be the dummy.
So it was a necessary evil
then.
Yeah,
you understand? So, like, you can't be foolish in this life. So you go to school, get your education. So to the younger people that are listening, don't get me wrong, I am not knocking school. I ain't telling you to be rebellious and not go to school. All I'm saying is, if you have a talent or something that you want to pursue, a certain passion, do that. Yes, you could still deal with the school and what's not, but school and getting a degree and all that there, that is not all. That is not all to this life. And again, I can make another point here too. When we go to school, right? You go in school to get the degree and what's not. Yes. than to look for a job, right? A job is bring what? Money, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, my thing was always this, and as I say, my mother listening, she know, you always just tell she did say it.
Right. If, I love your disclaimers though, but yeah,
if I can make money, all right, this is what you used to tell she back then when I was, as I said, still a young man, but back then, and call it back then. Not 20 years ago, as more said, thing, but say about five or six years ago, when it was like knowing, like say four form or so.
Right, about to come out of school.
Yeah. Mm. Me and my mother always just had this discussion. I won't call it argument, discussion. No argument, my mother. Love you. Love you, bye. But anyways. I always used to tell her that if I can make money now, at this age, what is the reason for me going to school every day, trying to bust up my head with this work just to get a piece of paper that ain't gonna guarantee me a job when I leave school? If I doing enough that I could be a hustler, an entrepreneur, you know what I mean? At that young age, just like try to assist me on that journey. You understand? So like, I say that to say this, any parents out there, if your child has a business idea, if your child is a hustler, if your child like money, don't tell them to like too much money, because really and truly, that is what we are living to make, money.
Right. That's the motivation.
You can't care about it. Money, listen, nobody, don't ever let nobody tell you that money is not everything or money is not happiness. Or money can't buy happiness. If you tell money can't buy happiness, then you shop in your own place. Because money can't buy happiness. You understand?
Interesting point.
You could get some money and save the world.
We have our first caller, right? For the evening.
First caller for the show.
Fighting crime, discussing solutions to crime and violence. Good evening, you're live on air.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Hi. Good evening. One of your guests made a suggestion for a national parenting program. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense, because obviously the problems stem from childhood. It stems from how a lot of times how children are raised. Now, one of the suggestions that I've been seeing for a while, which I think would make sense, it's not just a national parenting program. You have to make it mandatory. So when you get mothers going into the polyclinics for their prenatal care, you have a class, you have a session where they have to do this course, and not even just in the polyclinics, the private doctors as well. So they do the course. Obviously, even if you get a even with the same green book that they get for the child, you have the fact that they passed the course in there. There's information that they can go back and look at. Then even when they take the child then for the monthly checkups and whatnot, you continue the courses. These are things that need to be implemented. Government needs to play a bit more role in terms of assisting parents.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. Thank you.
That's my bit of contribution.
Thank you so much for your call and your contribution. Very interesting point. You agree with what she said, Tahir? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I agree fully with the point made. She said we can't just have a parenting program, as Mosiah suggested. It has to be mandatory. Everybody has to take part. You agree, Mosiah?
Oh, I definitely agree. It seems as if she was checking my notes, because that is just how it should be rolled out. Mm-hmm. As you go for prenatal care, you make sure that that is a part of the process as well. And not just mothers, but fathers need to be a part of this process too. And I know she said government, but we can't leave everything up to government, man. I mean, there's so many private entities out there, people who have the skills, the same degrees, Rick. People have them that can use them now to roll out programs to impact the families.
Would the panel agree that not having a positive male figure in households leads to young men being influenced by men on the block very easily? That's a question from the WhatsApp.
Not only male figures, but figures on a whole love.
Yeah.
Why do the youth resort to the block? That's where they get the love that they may be craving.
Mm-hmm.
Youngsters go where they get love.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go where you get hate. So if you're not getting that love at home, and I know some people may get the love at home but still resort to the block.
Yeah.
But you have to look at it holistically.
Mm-hmm. This other comment, good night, I caught the discussion late, but let me make these 2 points. First, the young man that spoke about schools and subjects students are exposed to is actually making an argument for the 11 plus because the different schools cater to students differently as there are subjects and programs at some schools that are not at others.
Correct.
This system can be improved to be better aligned to 2021 students and make them more prepared for the 2021 work environment. Secondly, I don't like the idea that academic people are not hands-on and hands-on people are not academic. And the opposite to a child not being academic is to push them to hands-on things. Hmm. Thirdly, I don't buy the argument that badness tunes lead to violence. My favorite song is Chargy by LR Big Tune. And I'm not a violent person. I have never been on a block, been before the law courts, nothing. But you see, when I was in graduate school pushing work at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning while people were sleeping, I was listening to Black Cartel. And we all know Black Cartel is bare badness to get me through. My last point is that the difference between crime now and in the past is the access to weapons of a different caliber. In my father or grandfather's day, nobody in Barbados had a 9 or 15 or anything. So they had their hands on a Collins or a knife, and the level of crime you could do with those is different to the level of crime you could accomplish now. Read Kim Ramsey's book, who was on with us last week, about criminals of yesteryear. We had crime from back then, but the access to the weapons was different, and those guns are not manufactured in Barbados. So my solution is tackle the access to guns. Interesting point.
Very interesting.
The root of the problem right there.
It's true.
Already 27 minutes after 7. I told you this hour flies still here.
3 minutes left.
But boy, before we close, I just want to ask Mosiah quickly, and Rick as well. Scott, I want you to chime in as well. What advice to any youth out there thinking of doing a crime? What advice do you have to tell them, Mosiah, before we close? Come take it away, and then we'll go to Rick and Scott. We'll leave you with the final word.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge is not permanent, it's but temporary. And though it may seem impossible and insurmountable, you can't get through it. I guarantee you that it would only be for a time. It would only be for a time. And if right now you feel as if that's your only way out, pause. Pause and right now consider that there's so much good in you that you can make a change in the life of one other young man or one other young woman around you. So strive to be that example. So just ease off, take a pause and do some self-reflection. Just think about where it could possibly take you. And if that, and I hope that that is enough. I hope that that is enough to just take you from on that road and help you to focus, man. And know that it's only temporary. Something better is coming. Something better is definitely coming.
I want you, you see that quote that you have on challenge, what you started off with, frame that and copyright it. I want that, man. Great.
Well, all I would say to close off is one life to live, one life God give. Just live your life and be contented. Someone will grudge you for your things. That's the way life is. But don't grudge them back from you do that, the win. We all know the road rough sometimes. Sometimes you just feel like you won't stop grind. Put all the bad thoughts and feelings behind. Remember where you start the journey long time. That's all I was saying.
Well said.
Very, very well said indeed. And to the public out there, before you pass over to Scott, remember that we all have influence in our own way. Let's not wait on government. Let's not wait on the church. Let's not wait on the school system. Make that change that you want to be today.
Telling you.
Have to do it. And try to influence and impact one person's life out there. If you can make that impact in one person's life, imagine what you can do. And when that one person makes an impact, then he will pass it on. And then we build out into the community. Then when the community is impacted, the country is impacted. When the country is impacted for benefit, for positivity, the world is a better place. Right. Scott, thank you.
Yeah, good night. You're most welcome. Thank you for coming through. Rick, big ups to you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, Mosiah Hoyt, thank you so much, sir. And Celia
Carmore. Thanks, man.
She dropped out on us, but it was good having her as well.
Yes, indeed.
You've been listening to Fighting Crime, discussing solutions to crime and violence here on Hot 95.3 FM and VOB 92.9 FM. We will be back next week, Wednesday at 6:30, right here.